Some of you who have been coming regularly, you know that we are going through the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, but normally is the Sermon on the Mount Jesus gave to his disciples, and there were other people on the background. And what we need to know at the outset is this is Jesus discipling his followers, is equipping them for the life in the kingdom, and also they will take part in the expansion of this kingdom. And so this is today to you, this is for you. And Jesus is not just giving us his word in vain today and calling us to revisit his sermon to his disciples. He is for you today who is sitting here this morning, because the Lord wants to equip you, because the Lord wants you to be his disciples. That is what we are. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, we can never be good disciples if our discipler is not giving us the right teaching. We will not be able to be truly equipped for the task that is before us. You remember, later on he will go to verse 13, and it's very significant. He will say, you are the salt of the earth. And then also in verse 14, you are the light of the world. And now this is what is in his mind. He is looking at you and I. He's expecting much from us because he has revealed these mysteries to us. And I'm going to take two verses. And one, the first one is the idea, the verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And these two verses, they really resonate around one idea. Because the world in which we live today is so fun, isn't it? All we want to have fun. Everything is just about pleasure. Everything is about feeling good. You see, so everything is just rejoicing when it's not the time to rejoice. You see, just let us be happy, 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 even if it is superficial. You see, the Lord doesn't want his people to be like that. He wants them actually to feel things as they are, as he would feel them. That is what Jesus says. He said, when you come to this kingdom, when you become a disciple, this is what is going to happen to you. And great is your joy, because this is what has happened. First, he said, blessed are the mourn, are those who mourn. So mourn in what ways? What is the meaning of mourning? You see, it's sorrow, isn't it? It's sorrow, sadness. So those who mourn, and just can someone in the kingdom of God mourn? Because that is what a lot of people say, like, oh, joy. Because you remember many years ago I said joy, choosing between joy and repentance. And so sometimes we say, oh, joy, you see. And joy is good. But wait a minute. So see, before joy, really, there is mourning, isn't it? There will be mourning. And now Jesus Christ is saying, really, your great joy, your joy is great when you mourn, actually. That is what he's saying. So you are blessed. And so he anticipating this. He knows this. He knows his disciple will not fail really to act in this way. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, those who have signed up to be his disciples, they will mourn. They will feel bad. And I give you two aspects when we can feel bad. First, in most occurrences in the Bible, is contrasted with joy, isn't it? But joy inward and outward, and so it can be the same thing. So here, it can be for your own sin. You mourn for your own sin. You feel bad. God is his grace. When you come, and actually it's connected with verse 1, verse 3, bless our poor in spirit, those who are aware of their sinfulness. And so they mourn for their sins, isn't it? And as they come to God, and so they receive forgiveness for their sins, and they become born again, you see? So they will be filled, you see? They say they will be comforted. So there is a comfort in forgiveness, isn't it? So being forgiven a heavy load, sins, is freeing, isn't it? You see, it's comforting. And so there is no sighing, there is no sorrows, there is no sadness, because you have come to God and have experienced his mercy and his forgiveness. That is the first one of the aspects of mourning. mourning for your own sin. Not only even before you come to Christ, even as we walk as Christians. You see, when we come, the Holy Spirit reveals something to us that we have really done against the Lord or against His own people. You see, and then the Holy Spirit in His grace, you see, reveals these things to us and we repent of this. So there is comfort for forgiveness in this. And that is what really a disciple really will experience. A person that walks really closely with Christ will experience this. And you can testify to this at times when you come and read your word after a drought, like after a long time where the word was not coming forth. And then you can have just like this revelation where that will just like touch your life and bring great joy to you. And I had Wednesday last week, and the verse I shared with the children the morning was so amazing to me. And there are other things that have come. So here, the sorrow and sadness and grief for your own sin also is one aspect. But in this text, really, today especially, and I mentioned this first because it's a truth as well, it's there. But my understanding, and my understanding is going to the mourning not for your own sin. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you mourn not because of your own sin. If you don't feel the corruption that is in the world and injustice and sinfulness and rebellions against God, and then you need to ask yourself, am I a disciple? If that doesn't really burden you, if that doesn't bother you, and then you need to repent. So that is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when you mourn because you are a child of God, you identify with Christ. Jesus himself, he was indignant when he saw sin, isn't it? He was so angry in the temple. He drove out, really, turned upside down, really, the false religion, the things that were misrepresenting God. So even when God is misrepresented, that something should touch us. And that is a way of discipleship. Jesus wants us to be truly his disciples, to feel the things that he feels, and to align ourselves with the kingdom and the spirit of the kingdom. And so he is encouraging us today. He's encouraging you today, really, to seek the Lord and deep down in your heart, really, to align yourself with Christ and his spirit and his truth, so that we can be true Christians, so that we can be truly representative of Jesus Christ in this country. We will not be just like really tossed around, because here there is a promise for those who mourn for the sins around them. They will be comforted, because the comfort will be great. Even at times here, even though it is futuristic, it is in the future where we will experience this in fuller measure. How about those moments when we experience the vindication of God in times of revival? You see, when revival comes, the very enemy of God, they turn to him, isn't it? Those who were enemies of Christians, they turn. When they turn to the Lord, they become friends with Christians. You see, and then they are no longer a burden. Apostle Paul himself, he was a man who was persecuting, you see, the church of God. And people were mourning, Christians were mourning, not because of their sin. They were mourning because this man is destroying the church of God. You see, and when he believed, was that a comfort to them? Great comfort, isn't it? And he became not only really passive in persecuting them, he became a champion. He preached the gospel. And he was opening their eyes really to the truth, praying for them, encouraging them, teaching them, discipling them to be a strong Christian. And he met heaps of disciples, you see, from place to place, you see. So this is the morning that Christ, our Lord, today is wanting us. To have. And you see in Matthew 9:14, Jesus contrasted this with the how he was as a bridegroom, 9:14, as a bridegroom, he was with his disciples, and people were asking him, the Pharisees, they were saying, why your disciples do not fast, isn't it? Can you recall that sermon? Do you recall that text? I hope that is not my mobile. Yeah. So John disciples, he was told, John disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? You see, how the guest, those who are with Christ, his disciples, how can they mourn while he's with them? So he's saying, how can they mourn when they are being comforted? You see, how can they mourn when they are being comforted, when the Lord himself is with them? You see, but he say, they will mourn when I'm lifted away. So the absence of Christ in every situation really should cause mourning, because the comfort only comes as he comes through and really touches. So that is the thing. And so Jesus Christ, when he is present in any situations, so that is why it is right to mourn for the sins of the people around us and the sins of the world around us, and also for our sins, for Christ to come through. And when he comes through, really, there will be great comfort. The Holy Spirit is called Comforter, Paracletus, the one that will be alongside us, diffusing every situation that causes trouble and pains. And that is why I said in this sermon that Christ is our sufficiency. You see, so every situation, when Christ is in it, you see, Christ brings comforts, peace, and joy, and restoration. Even with his disciples in the boat, isn't it? Everything was turning upside down, you see, in the sea, turmoil, you see, death, imminent death, you see, suffering. But when Christ comes and he stills the storm and the waves, so there is comfort and for his own people. That is the calling to discipleship. So if you want to experience the comfort of God, this is, you need to align yourself with Christ and his Spirit. So you will feel the right feeling. You will not laugh when people are just mourning, and you will not mourn when people are rejoicing. I want to give you one more example in relation to this text from the Old Testament. I want to take you to Nehemiah chapter 8. So Nehemiah and his own people, you know, Nehemiah was in exile. And when the news came to him that his people really were in terrible state, you see, the wall of Jerusalem were broken down. People have no defenses. You see, there is no joy of the Lord. People were just so left, no encouragement. The presence of the Lord was not with them anymore. But this man of God took that upon himself. And when he heard those things, the reports from those who came from Jerusalem, he sat down and wept, he mourned, for some days. And he said, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted. You see, even mourning and fasting, so related as Jesus even picked it up there. Because it is in the fasting and the seeking of God's face that the mourning is lifted. And so as this man, Nehemiah, really took upon himself the task of coming to God's people. Because God cares for his own people, isn't it? God cares for you. That is why he would want to speak to you this morning. And we see the patterns. God is God who loves his own people. He is not really glad to see us in disarray and in troubles and in mourning all the time. You see, some people like just mourning. You see, even this is that is why I'm just taking you to Nehemiah. You see, because as this man really prayed and sought the face of the king, God really met him, and he was given letters, and he even raised up great fund to come and do that building. And even as their opposition was so great, also God was looking after them, giving them insight into how to go about building, really, God's house and also God's people, building them up. And when they got to the point where they prevailed, you see, and on that day when the work was completed and the word of God was brought before them, and as God, and there was great comfort in that. But people were just like trying to continue mourning. After all the restoration, the hand of God and the blessing is a long way, isn't it? From chapter 1 to chapter 8, isn't it? There's something maybe you need to go and read later on. And then now, these leaders, when they realized, they said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. That is chapter 8, verse 10. Food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, no grief, no mourning. And now we always translate this or interpret this text differently. But I want to tell you this. It's saying, because you have been shown the strength of God, and that should result in joy, isn't it? Because God has demonstrated his power. You see, you have seen his strength. You see, because we say also the joy of the Lord is our strength. How do you reconcile that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is the power of God really manifested in joy? The presence of God in us, when he comes, it expresses in joy. That is what happens. That is why joy in the midst of troubles, because God has come through and has comforted us. So do not mourn. But we have to mourn and fast. When things are bad, that is a godly attitude. We have to do that. And the Lord will help us. Will help us to be right with him, to feel things rightly. Is that my phone? Let me check. Sorry. No. Maybe I'm just hearing a lot of voices. Anyway. Yeah. So we need to open our hearts to the Lord and to give us the right attitude. Now let me move forward. The verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Another thing, another attitude that should be of a disciple of Jesus Christ. We hunger for many things, isn't it? Our postmodern times really encourages us to hunger for a lot of things. They're not the right things. Not the things that will build us up in our walk with Christ. Things that should bring us joy, like what we have just read. So this world, we hunger and we thirst, we crave for things that are against, even against God. Can we put on the aircon, please? It's getting hotter. Can, Jesus here is saying, blessed. There is great joy. There's great freedom. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who hunger. Well, so what is the hungering or hungering means? Desiring something strongly. Desiring something strongly. You see, so when you are hungry, what do you desire? Food, isn't it? Your stomach cries for food, isn't it? Even sometimes it's good, isn't it? So here, even we are encouraged to hunger, isn't it? The world doesn't encourage us to hunger. Just to be full, to our disadvantage, you know? That's, we go and we spend thousands, gym. Here, because the world is encouraging us to hunger for the wrong things. Also, you know, a lot of people who have mansions and houses. You see, you have like a mansion that has 14 rooms. A mansion that like $60 million mansion. I don't think, I'm not, there are even one that are far really expensive than that, isn't it? Becomes a burden. So people want to kidnap you, isn't it? Want to kidnap you. You see, to maintain that, the insurance for that is just a mess. You see, so you hunger for something that really is going to destroy you. But how about if you have just a heart, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, Maybe you have money in disguise, like nobody knows about them, and you are just ministering to the Lord with these things quietly. You will be the happiest person, isn't it? Well, the world around us, hunger, has a strong desire for things. Really, even Jesus didn't say this to us, but I'm just contrasting. Desiring earnestly. And to thirst is to thirst, is to thirst after or long for something. But let me explain this thirst here that Jesus means and hunger. So he says for righteousness, isn't it? For longing and for to be right with God. That should be your right attitude as a disciple. Really, the thing that should burden you the most is to be right with God. God who has loved you so much. Because as I was reflecting yesterday, but what is the chief purpose for God to save us? Because theologians will tell us a lot of things. Like I encourage you, one of the places you don't want to go to is called Les Abad, is the Sermon on the Mount. They don't get it right all the time. You see, I heard David Cooks the other day when he was teaching the disciple, the student, how to preach. I just asked him, how do you preach the Sermon on the Mount? And he said, oh, don't ask me about the Sermon on the Mount. You see, he said one day he was coming from the church, he preached, and he went straight away to his study. You see, and his son, who is like a comedian, said to him, Dad, what happens? Why you just come back and you go straight into your study? And he said, I got it wrong. He got it wrong. See, he got it wrong. So we won't get it wrong when we look closely to Jesus. Now he's saying, when you have this strong desire to be right with God yourself and to live closely with him because he has loved you, that is why I said, what is the thing? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, so that whoever believes will not perish. So he was rescuing us from perishing. So someone who has been rescued from perishing, you are called to acknowledge that this life you live is not yours. And we wrote many songs, isn't it? This life I live is not my own, you see? So have you ever sung that song? I really challenge you. When sometimes we sing these songs and then we don't take them seriously. It becomes like a consumption, isn't it? Even our musicians, sometimes they train, they practice, and they do that. They pray over these words. Even the writer himself of the song. So here, a strong desire to be right with the one who has loved you. With Jesus who was crucified for you, who humbled himself. And so now he's saying, just desire this strongly. Really, his desire to be right with God. This is the righteousness, the full acceptance by God. Righteousness of God. God who is righteous in himself. Seek his righteousness. Seek his beauty, his love, his holiness, his kindness. Seek to be right with him, to align yourself with him. That is what he says. This is, should be the food that you desire for your heart. And he paid this hunger and thirst. Huh? You see? Because these two things, they combine life. You see, this is life in full, isn't it? Even normal life. Food and we drink. These are some symbolics of even deeper things of God. You see? So we hunger. Because when we hunger, and then Jesus said, you will be filled. What is the meaning of to being filled? It's to be filled. When you are filling something to the brim, that means there is no space anymore to fill that. And this, if there is a full righteousness of God, the Lord says here, you will reach that amazingly. If that is your desire, you will be filled to the brim. When you thirst and you hunger for righteousness, that will be given to you in abundance. And these are to be received by faith, isn't it? These are to be received by faith. You need to believe and trust that the words of the Savior, Jesus himself, are true. Let me give you one illustration. And this was when I was just reading this text. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he was planning to go to have his Last Supper. He said, go into a city, to a town. You will find a man and you follow him. And he will show you a place where we are going to have our Last Supper. And his two disciples, they went and exactly they found things that Jesus told them. And they came back and they told Jesus that what you told us is true. That is what we are experiencing here. Jesus knows what he's talking about. He will not want you and I to experience something he will not enable us to experience. He will not encourage us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. If he knows that, we will not thirst as disciples. He doesn't trick us. He loves us so much. He wants to pour out this upon us. He knows that it will happen. It's true to every true believer. You will hunger and you will thirst. Because that is his grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enables us to go, to walk in this path. And these are not just things that we are imagining. We imagine. This is true because he himself, he knows the way. He knows. He makes things to happen. And he said, they will be filled. They will be satisfied. The desire that you have will be satisfied. And you see, you know, now we have this tension between the kingdom here and the kingdom to come, isn't it? We know we live in between these times. But at the same time, even things that are to be fulfilled fully in the future, we still have glimpses of these things in our present day. And that is what is comforting to us today. That is what really keeps you going as a believer. If you live by the food and the drink that you have, and this is a spiritual drink, you see, you thirst for righteousness. You see, if you live only by the things you have received 5 years ago, you will be dry. You will not be sitting here today, isn't it? But because the Lord is so good, every day reaching out to us, blessing us and encouraging us and giving us his word and opening it up for us, filling us with his Holy Spirit, encouraging us, even though discouragement there and here, but he is encouraging us to do this. So these two things are before you today. What is your response? You see, those, will you be one of those? That is what you see, the common words here. When we prepare, you look at the repeated words and patterns there. And so he said, blessed are those. Are you going to be one of those? Are you? Are you? Or you are insisting to hunger on the things of this world. So if you thirst after the things of this world, you will never be satisfied. They cannot, because there is no water in this world. There is no water that can quench a heart of a righteous man saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the blood, purchased for glory. No. Are you going to be one of those? Are you? Is that your estate? If it is not your estate, well, you can begin now. You can ask the Lord, because this is just by faith you pray, oh Lord, please create in us. King David did that. Create in me a pure heart, oh God, and renew in me. And what, a steadfast spirit? Who's, yeah, right spirit. Are you going to be one of those? Or you will miss the opportunity today. When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart and see where you have placed your strength, your thought, your intellect, your resources, your energy. Where are you placing all these things? Does Jesus Christ deserve all? Have you sung that song? Demands my life, my all. What is that demands my life and my all? Can anyone remember? Love? Yeah. Love, the love of God demands. Are you going to be one of those today? Jesus Christ is appealing to you. Are you a disciple? If you are not, are you going to begin to sit at the foot of the cross? To learn, even from John 3:16, it was to me like a revelation yesterday. Because, you know, theologians, they just like want to do the order of salvation and why Jesus came into this world. Well, to rescue perishing people, people who are going to hell. You see, and then you can build on that. Adoptions and being a child of God, that these are the privileges of being forgiven and rescued. Can a dead person be in the presence of God? Dead in sin? No. I pray that you will be one of those. Today, if you heard his voice, do not harden your heart. Believe and put your trust in Christ. He deserves all because he gave it all on the cross of Calvary. Let us pray.